Hey, hey, y'all. Welcome to Traveler's Guide to Venus and Mars with Princess Robin. If you've ever wondered how relationships are approached from another perspective, this is your relationship roadmap. Today, our topic is problematic partners, formerly bad boyfriends, just so you know what we're talking about. And our tour guides are Terry, Sean Jay, and our brand new tour guide, Leah. Welcome to the show, everybody. Appreciate you being here.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey.
Hello, hello.
All right, so for all the newbies out there, the ground rules are as follows. There are no right or wrong answers. Debate is welcome. Keep it clean, keep it real, but most importantly, have fun. So with that, let's go on and clink our neighbor, because that means we're all on board with that game plan. And let's go. Okay, so we've all heard that nice guys finish last, and yet there are no shortage of complaints about relationships with partners who we're eerily drawn to, but are less than ideal for the happily ever after scenario. So really, most of us have been here at some point or another. So today we're going to explore what's up with problematic partners and why are so many folks going down this road. So first, let's kind of get a baseline. I'd like to hear from the tour guides. What are we talking about when we are calling somebody a bad boyfriend or bad girlfriend? What is that exactly? Anybody can chime in.
I would say that a bad boyfriend or problematic partner, because it can be a girlfriend as well, is somebody who's not meeting your emotional needs, not meeting, sometimes it's your physical needs. I always go back to love languages. So I would say somebody who is not speaking your love language or even attempting to speak your love language, if it's uncomfortable for them to speak that love language, and they want to love you the way that they want to love you. So while they're speaking French, you can't understand it. All you hear is English, and it's just clashing. You know what I mean? And when there's no effort, I think you start to you distance yourself, and I think the sling back to that is that you tend to try to meet those needs elsewhere. In an era where we're going through COVID and a lot of time is spent online, I think that there becomes a lot of almost online affairs, either at work or just, you know, from social media sites, because people are meeting the needs of just listening, you know, while you're complaining about your problematic partner. Mm-hmm. And that becomes some type of attraction.
I'm going to want to unpack that as we get into this, because you hit on something there that's not physical, but it still can be problematic. Sean Jay, Terry, anything to add or refute there?
Well, I'll hop in real quick. I think for me, problematic gives people a little bit of a more of a leeway. So it's not like they're causing you any trauma. They're just being a really big pain in the behind, right? So they're doing some stuff that aren't always up on the up and up. So you love them, you still like them, but they haven't, I would say for me, problematic means they're not disrespecting you. They're just doing some stuff that's not cool. Now, if that problematic leans into the realm of cheating, to me, that's not just a problem, that's a big issue.
Word.
Which I think would tend to make me question, do I need to be there, period. So I think problematic is, you know, we still got some good things going on, but this thing over here, we need to really look at. And maybe
What's an example, Sean Jay, for example?
Oh, okay. So let's say social settings, right? Some people in a relationship, one's very social, one's a homebody. Mm-hmm. And so there's this, I was in a relationship where I like to go out with friends. My partner was not so much that way. And whenever there was this event going to happen, I would give him enough time to say, so in 2 weeks, we're going to this party. I would give him prep time. And inevitably, the day of the event, he would go, yeah, I don't feel like going. And then I would show up at the event by myself. My friends would go, so, where's so-and-so? And they already knew what the issue was. But I was like, he didn't feel like coming. Mm-hmm. And they go, that man ain't right for you. He don't show up when you need him to show up. And so, yeah. So that would be a problematic partner. Yeah.
Well, that certainly does seem to be an example, too, though, of not having a need met, right? You know, mm-hmm. like going back to Leah's point about the, you know, it's not so much exactly a love language in that case, it sounds like, but sort of, because, you know, there's a need, like I need somebody to be present with me or, you know, be my partner in settings where I socialize and things like that. If they can't come through, they're not meeting that need. Terry.
Yeah, it's a sharing, mm-hmm. sharing yourself with your partner, with their circle of friends. So.
Yes.
I would say for myself, it's allowing someone to disrespect me and for me to allow to be, let that to be accepted. That's problematic for me.
I got a clinging neighbor on that because that's kind of baseline right there.
It is. That's Terry. She's very, she's going to give you the nuts and bolts. That's peanut butter and jelly. Right?
I need the
nice and smooth.
PECT. Or you ain't the one for me. And to go back to the cheating, I call that dead to me. Dead
yes.
to me. Once you go to cheating, you're not a problem. You're an ex.
Oh, yes. But
I think sometimes cheating, you know, the reason for cheating, right? I think there's a way of working through that.
Because, I heard that.
You know, because I think, you know, certain people cheat for certain different reasons. I think depending on what that reason is, and if you can work through that, I think that's a valid reason to, there's a valid, whatever that it is, to stay with that person. Because like my ex cheated. And my biggest thing was, just tell me. So at least I can do it too. So like, that's where my mindset was too. I was like, if you get to do it, I should get to do it. And then it's not really cheating. We just have an understanding. But when mm-hmm. you have taken away my option, then I feel that is the basis of like, oh, well, you just don't see me or respect me, period. But if you tell me you cheated, we work it out. I think that can be fixed or repaired or, but yeah, I think every situation is different. So I won't say that, you know.
I think every person's different because like, I just had this conversation with somebody that, you know, is cheating an automatic, like, okay, we're over. And I can say for me, in my marriage, I was married for 13 years to my kid's father. And I can say, no, it wasn't automatic. I didn't want anybody calling me. I didn't want anybody in my face. I didn't want anybody, like, I didn't, you know, keep it away from me. But I think because of my inability to speak his love language, I think I almost felt some sense of, you know, I worked a lot. Like I worked, you know, 12-hour days. I was running a practice and he needed a lot of physical attention and he needed a lot of applause after playing in the NFL. You know, your whole life you've been hearing, you know, from little league on up to high school, on up to college at the UW, you've been hearing, you're great, you're wonderful. And he needed a cheerleader and I'm not a cheerleader. I don't have that kind of like, baby, you're so wonderful. You're so like, I'm not an effervescent person. I grew up under three boys and I'm kind of boyish for a girl, you know, and I necessarily don't need sex for months at a time. And he was like, that's odd for him. And I think I almost allowed it because I was like, I don't want you to touch me. So you can go and do whatever you want to do. Just keep it out of my face. But I was like, if you get anybody pregnant or you do anything, you know, stupid, then we're probably done. If you give me anything, we're done. But I never thought that cheating was like just automatically made you an ex. It doesn't. I think for me, emotional cheating is much more offensive to me. Like, I don't want to hear that you were talking to her on the phone and over with her kids and going to Disneyland with her on trips with her. And, you know, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, I went over there, I bopped it, and then I left and I came home. And
you what?
You bopped it. You know, you went over, you smacked it real fast, and then you brought your butt back home, you know. But I don't want to hear you was talking. And I want to hear, like, you went over at 2:00 in the morning, hit it, is gone by three. You know, I don't want to hear you laid up and snuggled and all that. Like, that is going to get broken up with.
I love you, Leah.
But I'm just being honest. I don't think women want to hear that. They don't want to hear about the emotional part of the affair. They can handle the physical part. I don't think that they can handle the emotional part.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, I had, we'll just call him Thing. I had Thing cheat on me when I was 18 years old and ended up getting a girl pregnant. Okay. Now, that's a lot for someone to accept, you know, as you're trying to start off a college career. And so what did I do? I went to WSU and I cheated, you know, so I acted a fool. That kind of stuff, you know, you get that out of your system. So it didn't really last. And now I've been married for 25 years to a whole grown man and have leveled up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know.
See, I'm not into the cheating bag, but I also know my numbers too. Like, I'm, you know, I think being raised in the Baptist church, the old Southern, you know, fire and brimstone, you're going to hell numbers. I know my numbers. And so I really tried to keep those things really low for my life. And one of our line sisters is constantly teasing me. She's like, Leah, what's the difference between humping 100 men one time and humping, you know, one man 100 times? There's no difference. And I was just like, for me, it's like, you're not living your life. And I recently started dating somebody and we've been friends for years. He actually went to Washington State with us. And
wait, you just got to clink your name from Sean Jay. I don't know that we heard it. So I need to
hear it.
Make sure
okay,
you heard
thank
it.
You, Sean Jay.
Sarah is all about the liberation of women. And she used to just always tell me in college that I lived under church guilt and that I couldn't enjoy sex because I, you know, had this total church guilt. It was her favorite thing to tell me. Like, she was like, oh, I forgot Jesus is going to come and get you. And he going to be mad because you slept with four people instead of three, you know? And I was, you know, I used to take it real lightly that she teased me about my, you know, my basically how I was raised, you know, like one of the things my grandma taught me about keeping your nickel between your knees and all that good stuff. And so I never thought like, oh, he cheats, I'm gonna go cheat on him too. It was more like, he cheats, I'm just not gonna give him any for longer than I wasn't gonna give him any anymore, you know, before that. But I never was one to like cheat back. Like, I, you know, that really wasn't me. And I always got into relationships with, you know, I mean, you guys, there was a couple dudes that I got in relationships with at Washington State, two to be exact, that Sarah started just being like, Leah, you have the worst luck as far as penis size, because I would stay with these dudes for
Leah, I'm gonna have to stop you because I don't want to remember who you dated at college and then be like,
well, one of them was offensive linemen, and I was not expecting the micro penis that I found when it was
okay,
disturbing.
So we're going to go on and put that on the list of problematic partners. All right. So I want to pull it back too, though. So I want to be sure that since cheating was one of the issues, but Terry, you said disrespect. Say more about what disrespect looks like in your view.
At
that being a characteristic of a problematic.
Yeah. To me, it's lying about, you know, what you want in a relationship. Not just being honest with someone about, you know, where you see it going. If you love somebody, you're going to be honest with them about where you want to be. If you want to be with someone else, just say you want to be with somebody else, regardless of how old you are.
Mm-hmm.
Being put in relationships where you are have people coming into your face, like Lee was talking about, you know, other girls, other men, other women, that type of thing. I was never talked down to, but to me, it's just being disrespected with having somebody else being put in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to be in love with that person. I was put in situations, honestly, with this one guy where he had, you know, back in the day, you know, marijuana in the car and stuff like that, where I could have gone to jail. To me, that's disrespect. Now that I have a different level of disrespect, mm-hmm. you know, for myself, you know, those kind of things are scary to me, you know, back in the day. So it's just those kind of things that are just kind of, you know, you think about like how we could have gone to jail.
Yeah.
Those kind of things at risk for different things, you know, driving, you know, with 40s in the car and that kind of stuff. We did those kind of things, but those kind of things, just all types of things that, you know, that are disrespectful that it could have put us at risk.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it just was kind of some wild times.
Okay.
But I think my biggest thing is just the lies.
Yeah.
Why do you think people lie about wanting to be with somebody? Like, Terry, what do you think about that? Because I've always wondered, like, why don't you just go to the person and be like, you know what, this ain't working out, we're done. Why do you think people don't do that?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a fear of just like how someone's going to think about you because you're so used to them, you know, if that's what it is. Or what it is, you know, and I don't know if time goes by so fast and people are like, okay, we're just, you know, I don't want to address it. If it's their own insecurity, you know, I don't know. I really, truly don't know.
Sean, I'm sorry, Terry. I didn't mean
to. No, that was it. No, that's what I'm saying.
I was just going to ask you, Sean Jay, because you know, like you said, it sounds like there was some dishonesty. And that was what I pointed out, but you know, like, what are your thoughts about when people don't put all their cards on the table and, you know, like, what's your next move supposed to be when you find out that somebody has not been on the up and up? And it could be about another relationship, but it could be anything really, right? It could be, you know, I'm not what you think I am. You know, I haven't been honest about my financial situation or my intentions with this relationship or, you know.
Now, how much time we got? Whatever. How much
you know
time?
We're still good right now. Go, bro.
So here's the dealio. And I've only had one long-term relationship which lasted 9.5 years. We were together 10, but we were off and on so many times, I just averaged it to 9.5.
Okay.
And that relationship is the one that has taught me the most about relationships in general. There was dishonesty. There was disrespect. There was insecurity. There was the inability to communicate authentically and honestly. Mm-hmm. And I think, to Terry's point, there's a level of disrespect that happens that my biggest thing was, if you take care of yourself, that means you're respecting me because that means you're going to be around, right? It's like self-care, like your health, your mental, your emotional, your spiritual, all that health is important to me with the person I'm with. So if you are taking care of that tells me you respect me because you know that I want you to be around for a long time. I think an element of my relationship is inconsistency, right? So I spent a lot of time, I almost cussed. See, I catch myself. I spent a lot of time.
You self-edited.
Because I have a mouth on me. I spent a lot of time trying to be a mind reader. Like, he was so inconsistent that I knew if I did this, was I going to get this reaction or this reaction or this reaction? And that's mm-hmm. not very stable for mm-hmm. the other person. And there's a level of trauma there that's probably from my childhood that I need to know I can count on you. I need to know that you're going to show up fully. And I think a part of being a problematic partner is that inconsistency, not knowing who you are. And I think, to like Leah's point, like, if you don't want to be with someone, tell them. But I think a lot of folks, there's this comfort, right? I've gotten comfortable with this person. They may not be making me happy. I'm not making them happy, but it's comfortable. And then the risk of having to go outside and start all over again,
mm-hmm.
a lot of folks aren't ready for that. And like, you mm-hmm. have to, and I've read this so many times, you are responsible for healing your own trauma. And a lot of folks mm-hmm. haven't even begun that journey. So they get into a relationship with someone. And each person has their own stuff. Mm-hmm. But if no one's working on their stuff, you're constantly like hitting up against stuff. And it's just one of those things that I think becomes a problematic you become a problematic partner yourself because you're not doing your work. So I think it's one of those things we have to be aware of our ish, as mm-hmm. well as owning it, but also working on it. Like mm-hmm. there's these three steps of, you can be aware of it, but if you ain't doing nothing about it, it don't mean nothing. And if you don't own it, again, if you're not, you can own it all you want to, but if you ain't trying to, like, if you got, here's what I always say, we all got baggage. I just want someone with a carry-on, right?
I love it.
Are we talking about size-wise? We don't want them to have the five pieces. Just
right, like, I don't want, don't have a set. Or if you do still have that set, I want to know that every once in a while, you're going through it and looking and see what's in there and see what you can throw out.
Okay. That's fair. That's very fair.
Mm-hmm.
Other reactions to when you realize your partner is problematic? What else do people have in their toolkit?
I think you have to figure out, like, what is the, you know, like, what's the cutoff point? You know, like, there could be some things, you know, like, I don't really like this. Like, I'm a non-drug user. And because I had two drug addicts as parents. And, long time ago. And, you know, so sometimes when you start dating somebody and, you know, they recreationally do whatever, you just be like, okay, is this like a, I just can't deal with this in the long term? Do I see myself with this person in the long term with these issues? And I know for me, there are certain things, like Terry said, there are certain things that she considers to be disrespect that maybe somebody else might not find that. But I have to pick my own bottom line. And my own bottom line might include that for me, I don't want to be with somebody who has, you know, any drug addiction. And that includes weed. Like, I don't want, you're welcome. I just don't want to deal with it. And I don't like the smell. I don't like the, you know, whatever. And luckily the guy I'm dating had to stop because his job drug tests him. But I've always been fearful that if he gets a different job, you know, he might start again. And I'm definitely like, that would cause a real bottom out of our relationship. You know, and some women would be like, that's not a big deal. He's hardworking, he's faithful, you know, he's funny, he's good looking, you know, and all this stuff. But I'd be like, yeah, but I don't want nobody who got to get high every day just to be in life. You know what I mean? Like, if you wake up and you get high and then you get high all day long and then you go to sleep and you get high and then you get high on weekends and you get high on special occasions and you get high. I just can't deal with that. Like, it's just frustrating. And I'm like, damn, like, I'm sorry. But, you know, I want to be like, that is just, you know what? I always try to say, what is the mental health issue that you are drowning out when you're doing that every day?
Okay.
And nobody wants to talk about it.
Are you not getting high off of our relationship being so good? You
know, right. It's that, like, not, it's not a self-medicating. Right. It's like, and I'm always being told, well, it's just weed. It's just weed. It's just weed. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, I don't care. It bothers me. Like, it bothers me that you would spend $80 a week on something for that. You know, I was just like, and I just don't want to see. It just reminds me of just drug addict behavior where it's like, oh, I got to go outside for a minute. I got to go outside for a minute. I'm like, oh my God, like, that's disgusting. So, that's my bottom line. You know, those are some of my bottom lines. But, you know, other people's, like, I can't be with anybody unemployed or chronically unemployed. My mom used to say, like, you ain't going to be with Leah if you don't got no money. And that it sounds like I'm probably, you know, a little shallow, but that's not it. It's just, I want you to be like my grandfather. My grandfather worked 7 days a week and he was a hard worker and he wanted to give my grandma nice things. He liked going to work, you know, and I don't like people who are just like, oh, I don't want to do my job. I don't want to do my job. I'm like, we all got issues with our jobs, but we got to get paid and we got to go to work, you know? So let's stop with all the complaining. If you don't like your job, let's do something about it. I'm the one to help you write your resume, help you get a different job. But I can't deal with chronically unemployed. You know, but there's certain things that again, wouldn't bother me. Like I said, the cheating, I could get over, you know, like, but I don't want you getting high every day, you know? And I've recently realized, like, alcohol is, you know, I don't drink a lot, not since my Wazoo days. And I realized that that kind of irritates me a lot too. Cause when you're around a lot of, you know, we went to a picnic and ironically, you know, I brought Sarah to meet him, one of his friends, and everybody was just, you know, like pretty loaded. And I was just like, God, you know, like, it was just, you know, and I was thinking, really, like, is everybody that drunk? You know, and you know, it's like, it's not like have a glass of wine. I don't drink wine. I drink champagne, but I don't drink wine. I drink tequila if I drink, but it's really rare, you know. And if I get loaded, I'm pretty, you know, kind of, you know, I'm not the wild Leah, you know, the dancing and showing my behind. It's more like I'm gonna just sit in the corner and just kind of text on my phone. Yeah. Or be on Facebook, you know. So I think you have to figure out, like, if the problem is so bad, it's something that you can or can't deal with. And what I don't like is when people drag out the process. When you realize that that's the bottom line and this person is not going to stop doing this, then you have to just say, okay, I'm done. Like, you're wasting their lifetime and they're wasting your lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at 50, you know, I don't have the time to waste like I had when I was at Washington State and I was 20, you know?
Yeah.
At 50, let's make a decision about what we're going to do and do it, or let it go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's actually a good question that I'd love to explore if y'all have some time to hang out a little bit longer. But we're out of time for this episode. So, Terry, you might have been trying to jump in, so we'll start with you on the next one. But I want to go ahead and thank you all for being here on this episode. Shanjay, Leah, Terry, thanks for participating. Kurt, Casey, Clayton, my hubby, not a problematic partner, although it's a problem you're not here tonight. Thank you for producing the show. Thank you for the theme music. You can listen to the show at your leisure by following Traveler's Guide to Venus and Mars with Princess Robin on 8 major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Anchor, and Spotify. Subscribe and support if you like what you hear, and please share your thoughts with us. Remember to follow us on social media. On Facebook, it's Traveler's Guide to Venus and Mars with Princess Robin. Instagram is at Just Princess Robin. Thanks for joining us. And remember, regardless of what the roadmap says, you've got to follow your own heart. Until next time, smooches.